Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, build the perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz. With plans starting at $69 a month, members have access to a rotating closet of 75,000 items by hundreds of top designers' personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days, and when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for more new-to-you styles. We all know the feeling. You open your closet, it's full, but you have quite literally nothing to wear. Armoire will help us all who has ever felt that way. Armoire allows you to rent high-quality designer clothing for every occasion. Whether you're planning your outfit for a date night, packing for a conference, or in need of a gown for a black tie event, you will be the best dressed person in the room. I have loved using Armoire for a few spring events I've attended. I wore this beautiful Diane von Furstenberg dress recently that I loved. And right now, my listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/livingfully. That's armoire.style, armoire.style/livingfully to get 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more and more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. After doing a lot of research, she's found only one place we can look to improve any dog's health: their food. What she discovered is the way many dogs' foods are made can actually create toxins that can be wrecking our dog's health. This is true even for many premium brands. Fortunately, she found that by adding just a few special superfoods to her dog's food, she saw a huge transformation in their health. She made a video explaining step by step how anyone can do the same thing and see incredible changes in their dog's health, and it is inspirational. The food has really worked out so well for our dog, Doug. He's got more energy than ever before, and his coat is even shinier and softer. If you want to keep your dog healthy and happy, go to badlandsfood.com/livingfully and watch Catherine's video right now. Again, that's badlandsfood.com/livingfully. Are you ready to start living your best life today? Hey y'all, I'm Mallory and welcome to the Living Fully podcast. I'm a wife, mom, and entrepreneur here to encourage you toward a life of joy and fulfillment. My heart of big dreams took me a long way from growing up on a farm in Kentucky, from Miss America and The Amazing Race, all the way to writing a best-selling book and creating 2 multi-million dollar merchandise lines. Through this crazy journey, I've had a lot of highs and some lows, but I found my true self along the way. So now my hope is to motivate you to find your own version of living fully. Here, we believe you have a choice in your legacy. So let's start living it out today. I'm Mallory, and this is the Living Fully podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Living Fully podcast. I'm excited for every podcast, but I am extra excited for today's podcast because the person that I'm bringing on today is a true icon to me because they put out a piece of content that I did that changed my entire personal life and business in such a way that I think about it every single day. And that person is Marie Forleo. And if you don't know Marie Forleo, I'm going to give her a brief introduction. And when I tell you this podcast, it will be life-changing for you. I truly believe that this podcast can be life-changing for you if you put some of these things into practice, into your life. So Marie, named by Oprah as a thought leader for the next generation and owner of one of Inc.'s 500 fastest growing companies, Marie Forleo has created a socially conscious digital empire that inspires millions and millions and millions. She's the star of the award-winning show Marie TV with over 75 million views, and the host of the Marie Forleo podcast with nearly 26 million downloads. Marie has taught entrepreneurs, artists, and multi-passionate go-getters from all walks of life how to dream big and back it up with daily action to create results. She runs the acclaimed business training program called B-School. She has a writing program called The Copy Cure, and the joyful productivity program, and the one that made the biggest difference in my life, which is called Time Genius, which we'll talk about some today. She has a number one New York Times bestselling book called Everything is Figure Outable, which is available still. And I'm so excited to bring you one of my favorites today on the podcast, Marie Forleo. Okay, Marie, you really come with high praise from one of my very favorite people. And I had always known who you were and like had consumed your content for a long time. But Jenna Kutcher like changed my life when she told me to sign up for one of your courses that I bought and signed up for and make every single one of my team members take now. And when I tell you, I'm not blowing smoke. You are that, what I experienced in Time Genius, which we'll talk about today a little bit, was the most transformative thing in my personal life or business life or anything in my life, in my whole life.
That is so incredible.
Like, that, I know you've got a lot of things that you do and that you're probably like, this is my life's work. But to me, I am like, this was the greatest thing to ever be put out by anyone. I'm being serious about this.
Oh my God, I adore like you. Thank you.
It was transformative to me. And this whole idea of like, y'all, we don't have to live like this in this zone of time stress and being run ragged, whether you're a mom or an entrepreneur or somebody that's working three jobs or somebody that is, you know, their dreams are right in front of them and they're getting ready to start. It just is applicable across the board. And I continue to apply the things that you taught me through the screen every single day of my life. So I just want to start out saying thank you because it changed my life.
That means so, so much to me, Mallory. And I'll be honest, I use the techniques every day. I dip back in. It's work that is paradigm shifting. It's so easy to implement the tactics. You know, I wanted to create something that was like a huge buffet of evidence-based tools and tactics that anyone like us who was like, something is wrong here. I shouldn't be this exhausted. I shouldn't be this stressed out. I shouldn't be waking up in the morning dreading my life and passing out at the end and then waking up and it's like Groundhog's Day and you're doing the same thing over and over and you're like, something has to change or I'm just going to fall apart and need to give up. So I really appreciate you saying that. It means the world to me. And I'm so glad that you have your team go through it too, because all of us struggle with this. It doesn't matter if you're an entrepreneur, you're a team player, if you're a mom and you're managing your household and your children and your dreams and your career, it's like, we all need support in this way.
Yes. And there were so many lines that you said that it just got me in the heart. You said something like, do you wake up in the morning and you're like, I'm a victim of my own life and I created it. It's like, oh my gosh, I have been a victim of my own life and the thing that I've created.
I've become a monster.
And it contains things.
Yes. Like,
yeah. It contains things that I love, but it makes me love those things less. And I feel like exactly that. It's Groundhog's Day over and over. And here's what I love about you. You're like, it's really actually pretty simple to shift it. It made it less daunting to me. And I was like, I can do this. And then I did it. Now I keep going back to it because, you know.
Well, let's talk about that for a moment, because part of the game is the fact that we're living in a society that is steeped, all of us. We were conditioned, we were programmed into, and we exist in a world that is full of other humans living in a state of time stress. And time stress is really that experience where you never have enough time to do what you want to do. Your phone is constantly pinging, ringing, and dinging. Your emails are out of control. You constantly feel pulled in a gajillion different directions. There's so many things you want to do and create an experience, but your energy is going down, down, down. You may struggle like I did with an enormous bout of anxiety and depression that had never hit me at any point in my life, and it started getting really scary. So that existence of time stress, it's like we're fish in water. And we're also very social creatures. We're very influenceable by the environment that we surround ourselves in. So while it is awesome that we can also create our own our paradigm of being a time genius, it's just like going to the gym. You would never go work out once and be like, woof, I don't have to work out for the rest of my life. Like I would have one workout and that's it. It's like, just doesn't work that way. So with the same thing applies with time genius, it's something beautiful that we can keep strengthening and dipping back into and keep continuing that ripple effect of, oh, I'm going to stay in the time genius zone. And I'm actually going to positively infect those around me with this new possibility. And so that's the way that I think we create long-term sustainable change. And it's really fun. It's really fun to keep tipping back in because we're human beings that evolve. Our projects evolve, our lives evolve. We all go through different stages and seasons. And so as we continue to grow and change, we can kind of dip back in, get new tools, revisit old ones, and find ourselves strengthened and refreshed and rejuvenated and feeling back in the driver's seat of our own life and feeling that spaciousness and that joy that most of us are craving.
Yeah. And I want to go into, I revisit different things at different points in my life, exactly what you just said. And there's like two of them that are really big for me that I want to talk about more in depth at the end of the podcast. But I start out every podcast by asking people this question. It's called the Living Fully Podcast. So who in your life helps you live more fully and why?
Josh, my partner, helps me live more fully because he and I are kind of like salt and pepper shakers. There's so much about us that are diametrical opposites. Like there's so many things that we have in common. We've been together for 21 years. And there's many places where we're very different. One of which is Josh's energy, his pacing, his kind of view on life. I'm a playful person, but he takes it to a whole other level. And he has amazing intuition. And so he can feel into and see into when I'm being hard on myself, when I'm kind of driving into old patterns, when I'm a little bit off kilter, when my heart seems to be a little hardened or closed. And he always knows mm-hmm. the exact right ways to kind of sneak in there and help me realign mm-hmm. with who I truly am and get me back in touch with my highest self, which isn't necessarily the self that he wants to see. It's more about who he knows me to be at my core when I am my most joyous and most fulfilled. So it's like he's this great energy wow. and environment creator that magnetizes me back to my highest and best.
What a great partner, especially yes. for you, an achiever, a lifelong yes. achiever. That's pretty amazing. Because what a gift, because the people that are around us the most, I mean, they can really influence our entire lives more than anything.
Yes, that's right.
That's amazing. And, you know, part of your story and your journey, and I love it that you're so open about this. You said you knew from a young age that you didn't want to get married. And you
That's
didn't
right.
want to
have kids. A lot of people are like, oh, Josh is your husband. And sometimes I don't correct them because it doesn't make a difference to me in terms of having uh-huh. a piece of paper or not. That's just my own personal mm-hmm. experience. It's like he knows he's my human in this life. Like it's been 21 mm-hmm. years. I'm hoping that we have decades and decades and decades and decades more of a joyous, loving adventure together. But yeah, it was interesting. I've had a lot of folks ask me, especially women, younger women who were navigating their own choices about how they wanted to build forward mm-hmm. in their lives. And one of the questions I've gotten asked the most is, Marie, how did you decide not to have kids? You know, what was that decision like for you? And I was just really transparent. And I said, it wasn't a decision. It was like when I popped out of the womb, and I don't know how to explain this. I don't have an explanation. However, there was just a clear knowing that that wasn't mm-hmm. something that was in my desire. I never dreamed about having a wedding. Yeah. I never dreamed about having a traditional family. And it wasn't as though there was anything wrong with me. It's just, I wasn't kind of constructed that way. And people are like, oh, that's going to change. It's going to change. But it never did. So I've always been really open wow. to the fact that like, hey, I'm not a person to say never. Maybe in 5 years, maybe in 10 years. I'm super open because I've watched myself evolve and change over the years. However, with this one particular thing, it hasn't. And so I think that especially for women, because we're so enculturated from eons to have a particular path, mm-hmm. there's a lot of societal and familial expectations. I mean, my own mom, who I adore and I love, she's like, what's wrong with you? Like, why are you not married? When am I going to have grandkids? Like, you know, so she was coming at me like heavy yeah. and she yeah. loves me. Uh-huh. And I was just like, mom, like if you want more kids, go out and get them. Like, go out.
Like, get them for yourself.
You can adopt. There's a million things you can do. You can, you know what I mean? But I'm on a path and that's not it.
Oh, that's awesome. That's funny. That's funny. But I, you know what? I think that you are the queen of like, teaching us how to lean into our intuition and know what are thoughts and what are intuitions and what are, you know, what is your gut telling you, and like quiet the noise so you can hear your own thoughts. I think that's really powerful that like you knew your decision and that you weren't influenced by the world when it told you, oh, I think maybe this is the wrong decision for you. You're like, no, it's the right decision.
Oh, Mallory, I had so many, and I will say, especially men, loving men, men who really like cared for me, really respect me, my work, what I do, you know, wonderful humans who said to me, Marie, you're going to regret this. This is going to be the biggest regret of your life. And I remember just sitting in these conversations, kind of like in my head, like rolling my eyes, but, you know, forward facing, not wanting to be a total a-hole. You know what I mean? Just like, okay, you know. And, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, but you're going to die alone. I'm like, I'm probably going to die alone anyway. That doesn't, you know what I mean? Like, that's like, chances are that's how it's going to go for most of us. So, but I did want to say one thing. It was interesting because when Josh and I first met, I didn't know this when him and I first had our kind of very electric attraction slash connection slash like soul meeting moment, but he already had a son. And I have to tell you, I like jumped up and down and I checked in with him. I'm like, do you want to have more kids? Because he had had a son in a previous relationship. And he's like, I actually don't care. He's like, if you were super into it, like I'm open to it. He's like, but I, you know, my son Zane is amazing. I'm like, oh, this is the first time. I'm like, this is great.
The perfect scenario.
So I'm a happy stepmom to now an adult child. So I got Zane in my life when he was nine. And that was perfect. It was like, that was a beautiful opportunity for me to have my own unique expression of my family, which I would have never thought of, but it happened really organically and in a way that felt like, oh, this is an opportunity for me to pour my love and my caring into this other human that I didn't biologically give birth to, but now he's part of my family and he's part of my life.
Yeah, that's amazing. And that's, I think it's powerful to step into that even against the grain. So, okay. So you've done a lot of things, and you are like the queen of reinvention. I love it that you are this powerful coach now that is known around the world with number one New York Times bestsellers and B School and Marie TV. But you know what I love about you, Marie? That you came from, like, you were a dancer too.
Yes.
You did all of the like workout videos and you were a bartender and you worked on the New York Stock Exchange. And you have had this multitude of jobs and passions like all throughout your life.
Yes.
And so I'm so fascinated just about your personal story and journey. So can you just tell us like in a nutshell, you know, because this is just whenever people hear that list of things, they're like, oh, how in the world, like what is in this woman that she's done all these things? So tell me just a little bit about like where you came from, like who
I'll
you
give
are.
The fast track version as quickly as I can to kind of hit the highlights. So I remember when I graduated from college, you know, with a degree in business finance, I could not imagine myself sitting in an office because I've always had a lot of energy. It's very difficult for me to sit still. And the one place where you can't sit is the New York Stock Exchange, Wall Street. And because I bartended my way through college, one of my like best bar customers, and it was at an Italian restaurant in a mall in New Jersey. So it was like, I would serve these folks dinner and wine. And they were like, oh, what are you going to do after graduation? And I was like, I'm trying to get a job on Wall Street. And so someone's brother happened to connect me, gave the resume, got this job. And I remember going there and just being like, okay, this is cool. First of all, I've always had a really ambitious heart when it comes to financial freedom. I didn't have a lot of money growing up. My mom grew up in poverty. So it was always in my heart that was like, I didn't want to make a lot of money to get shoes or house, like all that stuff's fine. But it was like, I wanted money to never have to worry about money again, because in my early experiences, the lack of it created a lot of stress, lack of love, divorce, all of those things. So get to Wall Street, excited. People are making a gajillion dollars, you know, lots of energy, blah, 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 blah. But about 6 months into that job, I remember hearing this still small voice inside that said, Marie, this is not who you are. This isn't who you're meant to be. This isn't what you're meant to do. And I remember at first blush, I was like, shh. I don't have a trust fund. I don't have a backup plan. What the hell? Like, this is like a steady job. This is amazing. I have health benefits. Like, be quiet. That voice kept going on and I kept shushing it until one day I remember walking on the exchange and I started feeling physically ill. Like I had trouble breathing. And I said to my boss, like, hey, I'm going to go run out and get some coffee. He's like, no problem. So I run out and I make a beeline, not to get coffee, but to the nearest church, Trinity Church. Because I had just graduated from a Catholic university and kind of trained when you're in crisis, you look up and ask for some help. You ask for some guidance. Sitting on the church steps, crying because I felt like such a loser. Why do I want to quit this job? I don't have a backup plan. None of this makes sense. I have a really strong work ethic. And a little voice told me, call your dad. So I whip out my flip phone, which tells you that this is 1999. And I'm crying the ugly cry to my dad saying, oh my God, I'm so sorry. You and mom work so hard. I'm the first in our family to go to college. I tried really hard every day. I've been coming here for 6 months and I feel like I'm getting sick. I'm dying this slow death. What do I do? Because I didn't want to bring shame upon my family. Like we just worked our buns off to put you through school, and now you're quitting this amazing job. And my dad gave me a piece of advice that changed the game for me. He said this. He's like, Ray, you've been working since you were nine. I'm not worried about you keeping a roof over your head or putting food on the table. But here's the deal. You're going to work for the next 40, maybe 50 years of your life. You have got to find something you love. And if coming to this job every single day is making you so sick that you have to run out to the church to cry, you can quit and go figure out what you're meant to do, because this is not going to bring you the ultimate experience of success. Mm-hmm. And so my dad never gave me the prescription, because then I started thinking, well, how the hell do you find what you love to do? Like, they don't teach you that in school, right? Mm-hmm. Nobody shows you that. And he certainly didn't tell me how to do it either. Mm-mm. But it was that permission slip that I needed to not feel as though I was going to bring shame upon my family and make maybe a really stupid move at a really early part in my career. And so the only two things that I knew at that point were that I really love small business, because he was a small business owner, and I had this huge creative side to me. And those two things in my mind at the time were completely diametric opposites. I was like, I don't know what that means, but I strained and strived and was trying to figure something out. And what came into my mind was magazine publishing. You love women's magazines. Mm-hmm. There's a commerce side. There's a, you know, kind of creative side. So I went to a temp agency.
Yeah.
They got me a position at Gourmet Magazine with Condé Nast. I was like, okay, this is cool. I had a desk that was near the test kitchen. I'm Italian American. I love snacks. So every time they're testing a new recipe, like, Marie, do you want some? I'm like, of course I want some.
Yeah.
6 months into that job, I hear the same voice again, Mallory. Marie, this isn't who you are. This isn't what you're supposed to do. This isn't who you're meant to be. And I was like, oh God, no, not again. Please know, like, this is a whole different environment. All of my friends were starting to get promotions, raises. You know what I mean? They were starting to think about buying houses. And here I am, like, a loser at square one again. So I said, okay, Wall Street, very money oriented. I was in the ad sales side of Gourmet Magazine. Maybe it's too many numbers, too much commerce. Maybe my creative side is just starving. I went to HR and I said, if you have any position open, even if I take a pay cut, on the editorial side of any magazine in all of Condé Nast, I'll take it. Within a few weeks, there was a position open at Mademoiselle, now defunct, but beautiful young woman's magazine. And I was like, okay, this is it. I'm going to fashion shows. I'm working with designers. I'm helping with layout. I'm on photo shoots. Like, this is going to be the most amazing adventure in the world. So I'm at that job. And at first, of course, it's lovely. And then what do you think happened? It was probably 6 months and that voice came back again. At this point, I think I'm broken. At this point, I'm like, I have a cognitive deficiency. Even though I want to work hard, all I want to do is really quit everything. And I don't know what else to do instead. And it was around that time that I was on the internet, probably when I shouldn't have been. And I stumbled upon an article about a new profession called life coaching. Mallory, I am not kidding you. It was as though the clouds parted and little angels came out and with trumpets and were like,
I love that. Yeah.
Right?
It was, so the like, cherubs were like shooting the bows.
Just little sunbeams shooting out of their eyes. And it was essentially like, this is what you're supposed to do. That same small voice. Yet I was like 22 or 23. So the mean girl voice inside was like, are you kidding me? A life coach? First of all, this sounds so friggin' cheesy. What even is that? Second of all, you are such a loser. You're like tens of thousands of dollars in debt. You can't seem to hold down a job because you keep quitting. And who the hell is going to hire a 23-year-old life coach? You haven't even lived life yet. But I couldn't deny that there was something in my bones that felt so right, even though logically, and again, from an analytical, rational perspective, this seemed ridiculously stupid. I signed up for a 3-year life coach training program, started doing studying at night, was completely immersed in the world of human potential and development and learning all these new skills. And I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. Cut to, I get a call from HR. They have a promotion for me. They wanted to move me over to Vogue. This was my proverbial fork in the road. Do you go to the top fashion magazine in the world? Yeah. Steady paycheck, more money. People understand what you do. It sounds kind of good on paper. It's pretty sexy. Or do you quit and do this weird ass life coaching thing that nobody's ever heard of? And you don't know how to start a damn business and you don't have any money. And it's just so stupid. And of course, I turned down the promotion and I started bartending and waiting tables again, and then figured out how to build a life coaching practice during the day. And that was about 23 years ago.
And the rest is history. Yeah. And wow,
What a story. What a gift that you listened to your intuition and that you jumped in. Because you know what I love that you say, and I think that we really forget that, like, you know, you know that you like something from not like the thoughts in your head, like, I think that I'm gonna like this thing, but from experience. So correct. Like, you left the stock exchange, you jump into the magazine, you jumped into a different part of another magazine, you jumped into, and you just continue to take the chance and experience, and that you're like, that's actually where the knowing comes from. And I thought that that was really powerful, because I think a lot of times we get stuck in our heads trying to like figure it all out before. And a lot of people like never even do the thing, but I've noticed that in my own life. I'm like, okay, I think I like this. And then I start doing it. Maybe I don't like it. Or maybe I start doing it and I feel also that the cherubs with the sunbeams like come out of the sky. And I think that that's, you know, your self-awareness is like a 10, you know, and I think that that's something that I think a lot of people question, like, their intuition a lot. And you seemed to just, you know, you didn't question it. You just jumped right in. And then the knowing came from jumping in. And I think
there's a little mantra I want to share with your
listeners. Oh, I love your mantras. Good.
Yes. That just builds off of exactly what you just said, which is this. Clarity comes from engagement, not thought. Clarity comes from engagement, not thought. I too, right, can absolutely get snookered in by my very quote unquote smart prefrontal cortex and thinking and analytical mind. And I'm just going to work through all the pros and cons and I'm going to think about it and sleep on it and talk to other people about it. But it's not until I move my buns and throw myself in and be willing to be absolutely sucky and just go, I don't know, but I want to experience this. I always get the clarity I need from the doing. The learning from the doing. And it's as though my body has this truth, my intuition, my natural knowing, my natural intelligence all gets lit up and activated when I go experiment, when I go do. Sometimes it's a phone call. Sometimes it's putting myself in a class. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have to quit a job and start a new one. There are so many ways to do micro experiments that are not sitting on your couch, that are not talking about it, where you will find the clarity that you need to be on your highest and best life path. Yeah. So write that one down. Clarity comes from engagement, not thought. It still serves me to this day. And I feel like it will serve me for the rest of my life.
Yeah. Well, and two, like, you know, a lot of people count it out because they're like, I've got a mortgage and I've got three kids and I just don't have the time, which is where we're going to talk about time genius. But like, it's just the title of your book. Everything is figure outable. So you were a bartender and you worked in that, you figured it out. And
And it wasn't pretty and it wasn't organized. And I was not like, and just to be real, you know, so many of my friends at that time, they were getting married and they were, it was like, Marie, come to Vegas for the bachelorette party. And I was like, dude, I'm piles in debt. I cannot. I can come meet you and celebrate you at your house. And I'm going to bring a little, you know what I mean? I'm going to bring a little something. We'll celebrate at your house. I can't afford to go.
You made sacrifices. Yeah. To figure
it out. Correct. So like for anyone listening, like figuring stuff out when you're in a tough place, it's not going to be neat. It's going to be a little messy. You might have to make some sacrifices. You might, you know, not wash your hair or look real cute or what, you know, there's going to be things that fall by the wayside and that's okay because productivity isn't always pretty, but getting yourself in the game, that's where the real juice in life is. And that's when you keep taking yourself to these higher levels.
Okay. So I love that. So speaking of juice, in the book, Everything is Figure Outable, your mom, like I love how you open it with this little Tropicana radio that your mom carried around. I could picture your mom. When you open the book, Everything is Figure Outable, she paints this picture of her mom, who's this amazing character, this like Jersey woman who was figuring out everything. I mean, in your book, I'm like, she's fixing the roof? Like, really? She just figured out and figured out and figured out. So it put this in you clearly. And then you wrote this whole book about everything is figure outable. I think that's so empowering to people. Just that one little line, everything is figure outable. Talk a little bit about that because I love that book. It's been, I mean, it was a number one New York Times bestseller. Of course it was. And I know that it's been several years since it was written, but it is still like so applicable to everything. And I feel like will be in 20 years.
Oh, thank you. I'm so proud of that. I mean, it's been an idea, the simple premise, the simple belief. Like, I think most of us, sometimes we can overlook how powerful our beliefs are when it comes to our experiences of life. And sometimes we think like, oh, it's, you know, if I'm thinking positive thoughts or, you know, X, Y, and Z, but we don't realize that our beliefs are almost like these invisible tracks that are running underneath everything that silently but determinedly take us where we're going. Yeah. And so the notion that everything is figureoutable is probably the single most powerful driving belief that has taken me from childhood into high school, getting myself out of like an abusive, really terrible situation, my first kind of love relationship that was very, very painful, in and throughout college, getting every job I've ever had. Then as a business person, everything from like, how do you figure out how to hire your first anyone to help you, to growing to levels that I never even imagined were possible. So, you know, when it comes to fixing your dishwasher, or again, building a company that impacts people around the world, like you can use it for the most mundane things and the most profound things ever. Yeah. And it all works the same. And I want to share three simple rules, because naturally anyone listening to this, and I like when people, I always invite people, I'm like, try it before you deny it. If you're like, well, no, not everything is figureoutable. Like, you know, what about X, Y, or Z? I remember a really dear friend of mine, Mallory, when the book was coming out, he was like, oh my God, I heard about your book. It's amazing. And he's very, very passionate in the addiction recovery space.
Okay. I'm in recovery too.
For like 20 years. And he's like, but Marie, he's like, wait a minute though, that title, like that's a little misleading. You really think everything is figureoutable? And he was like, well, what about, you know, a life-changing diagnosis or death or addiction? And I said, honestly, my friend's name is Joe. I said, I'm telling you, I stand firmly behind this and here's why. So when I first kind of took this notion out into the public in a bigger way, I was on Oprah's stage. She had an event that was called Super Soul Sessions. And while I had been teaching this idea for many years to my own audience, I had never really taken it out beyond folks who were very familiar with my body of work. And so once that talk got online and then they put it on their podcast, I got this note from a woman named Jen. And here's what she told me. She said, you know, Marie, my mom actually showed me your Oprah talk, Everything is Figureoutable, because that's an idea that she's been trying to teach me my whole life. And she's like, oh, I was really into it. And then something changed. All of a sudden, my beautiful mom, who I love more than anything, was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer and nothing seemed figureoutable. But then I stepped back and looked at the smaller things and it turns out they were. For instance, I could figure out how to find nursing care for my mom who lived in a rural area. I could figure out how to find foods that she would actually tolerate. And this was the big one. I could also figure out how to fill her house with the right medical equipment and everything that she needed so that she could spend her last 5 weeks on earth exactly where she wanted to be, which was in her own home.
Wow.
So yes, everything is figureoutable. And thank you for sharing this beautiful idea that changed two women's lives halfway around the world. And it was a story like that and so many others that I've received from such brave, incredible humans facing the most devastating, heart-wrenching circumstances who have taken this phrase in their own heart and found a way to use it to help them find hope or find possibility or open up a new level of transformation or transcendence in the midst of whatever that they were facing. Yeah. And so it rooted them in their own sense of power. It rooted them in their own sense of possibility and openness to ask for help, to be creative and to reach for something higher at their lowest points.
Wow. Yeah. That's pretty amazing. I remember reading that story about those ladies from New Zealand, right?
Yes.
New Zealand. Yeah. That's
yeah. So that's incredible. The phrase. And I would encourage everyone listening, just like use it, just try it before you deny it. Like when the shiitake hits the fan in life for you, which it does for all of us, it does for me on a daily basis. I come back to it. And on a really practical neuroscientific level, it's a phrase that takes you out of the amygdala, which is our fear center, right? Fight or flight, which is where we lose touch with the prefrontal cortex, which is the area of our brain that has reasoning, executive functioning, our ability to kind of put things into perspective and make mature, emotionally grounded decisions. And when you say everything is figureoutable and you say it out loud at least 3 to 5 times, you bring your stress levels down, you go from the amygdala back into your prefrontal cortex, and you start putting yourself in a mindset of finding solutions and possibilities rather than getting weighed down in the problem. It's not necessarily that you're going to change or fix anything, but you are going to access instantly, near instantly, your most powerful self, Yeah. You're going to take your nervous system down a few notches. You are going to open your creativity up to higher intelligence, to a greater power. And all of a sudden, you'll start to see pathways and possibilities. I should call this person. I should write this down. I should take a drink. I should walk around the block. Possibilities of solutions will come to you step by step. And you just need to say that phrase.
Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. Even though I sure do live for the spring and summer in the South, that means allergy season is upon us as well. I love to be outside with my kids as much as possible, but when my allergies are acting up, it's tough to enjoy every moment. Luckily for those of us who live with symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, sinus congestion, and pressure with ease. I've been taking Claritin D this allergy season, and my allergies are worlds better. No more watery eyes or itchy throat. Ready to live as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter and go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. As women, we all know what it's like to be on a hormonal roller coaster. I certainly know personally what it's like, the cravings, the ups and downs, all the things that come along with it. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier by creating supplements with science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Adaptogens can help the body adapt to any stressor, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. And this isn't just for women going through menopause. Women with any symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it, but it's perfect for those horrible menopausal symptoms that can put a woman's life on hold. Hot flashes, night sweats, low moods, poor sleep, and feeling tired all the time. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. And there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. Lastly, it's not just a supplement. It's a phenomenon. It has a huge rave on social media, and a bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code LIVINGFULLY at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code LIVINGFULLY for 15% off today. Are you looking for a healthier alternative to alcohol after a stressful day? Let me tell y'all, I've been a huge fan of Recess for a long time now. We have always got Recess stocked in our drink fridge, and I'm so excited to have a code to finally share with you guys. Podcast listeners get 15% off the Recess Mood Sampler Pack at takearecess.com/livingfully. I'm going to stock up now with my own code. And y'all should too. Recess Moot is a delicious sparkling water infused with functional ingredients like mood-lifting magnesium and stress-balancing adaptogens. You can enjoy it after a busy day or whenever you feel the need to relax and unwind. Recess Moot is made with real fruit and comes in four delicious flavors like strawberry rose, raspberry lemon, and my favorite, blood orange mood. And with only 20 calories and no added sugar, it's a guilt-free way to chill. You deserve a healthier way to unwind. Head to takearecess.com/livingfully and get 15% off Recess Mood, your go-to alcohol replacement.
Gosh, it's so powerful. It's and your mantras are all like, I can't forget your mantras. Your mantras are burned into my brain, and I'll remember different ones at different times. And I love somebody that goes by mantras, but a lot of the mantras I'm like, okay, well, I've heard that before, a version of that before. But the ones that I heard in Time Genius, I don't know if it's because like I actually hadn't heard them before. They were very fresh and they just like, just straight to the heart, Marie. And there are ones that I say like probably five times a week. And that's why I want to talk, you know, about a couple of my favorite things in Time Genius. And Time Genius, if you guys are like, what in the world is Time Genius? It's this course that, you know, my friend Jenna told me about. I bought, and now like my whole entire team takes it. It's about how to get out of the version of like time stress that we talked about at the beginning of this podcast. And it is, when I tell you, it is like, it just, I don't see how it couldn't work for someone, whether you're a mom or a business owner or like any person. It is that effective and that well done. And there's a video component, and there's these like worksheets that I would print out and right through when I couldn't figure out what are my values and what are my priorities and like, how do I even do it's so simple and like easy and robust. I just can't say enough about it. I don't even think it's available right now, but like it's, I think it's coming out again in the fall, hopefully. Yeah. Like people can take it, but I could go on and on about it. You know, I think that one of the big things for me and being a multi-passionate person like you is I really resonated with the decision fatigue. And I think that, yes, like,
moms and like people trying to parent, or like teachers, or there are a lot of people that I think have decision fatigue. And what I really love about Time Genius is it's all rooted in science. So yes. Can you tell me a little bit about decision fatigue? And can we talk a little bit about that? Because it's a really big one for me.
Yeah, it's a big thing. And for many of us, we don't even realize that this thing called decision fatigue is real. So let's put this into a scenario that most of us have been in before, where you wake up in the morning and you're hit with either your partner or your child or your emails or Slacks or text messages. Hey, where do you want to go for dinner tonight? Hey, what's happening? Do you want to choose this or that to wear today? Someone else is asking you for this. Do you want to come to this party on Saturday or not? Or what time would we go there? And all of a sudden, before even 9 a.m., there has been 17 or 25 different little things that you've had to decide and you want to go take a nap. Mm-hmm. The notion is this: every single day, every single one of us wakes up with a certain amount of cognitive fuel in our brains and our bodies. You can think about it like a full gas tank. Every time we make a decision, should I have eggs for breakfast or a smoothie? Should I put blueberries in my smoothie, spinach or avocado? Should I have my coffee black or should I have it with a certain kind of milk, dairy milk or non-dairy milk? Am I going to have lunch with my friend? Should I open Slack or not? I should probably journal first. Should I meditate? Do I want to do 10 minutes of a workout or should I schedule a class later? Every time you make one of those decisions, it is basically burning fuel out of your cognitive tank and it's making you less and less able to focus. You are less and less able to make clear decisions. You're going to wind up feeling more irritable, more angry, more distracted, and more tired.
Yeah.
And so decision fatigue is this really real phenomenon that most of us don't recognize that we are basically succumbing to when we don't intentionally set up our days so that we are A, not wasting cognitive fuel on little decisions that really don't matter.
Yeah.
And B, aiming our prime, juiciest, most powerful and potent ability to focus and pay attention at the priorities that matter to us most at this stage and season of our life. If you've been talking to yourself about wanting to write a book forever and you schedule it for the evenings or 4 or 5 p.m. and you're like, why can't I ever get to it? By 4 or 5 p.m., I'm toast. It's like, I don't have anything to say.
Same.
I guarantee you, there's no cognitive fuel in your tank because you've spent it all on stupid little crap that doesn't really matter. And all of us can make these mistakes, but it's really easy to shift this and to turn it around so that you're aiming your most powerful cognitive fuel at whatever you've decided matters most to you at this stage and season. And then by the end of the day, there's different little things that each of us can do, can kind of refuel the tank. I haven't been able personally to refuel it to 100%, but there are some tricks and hacks. Let's say if you hit like 2 or 3 p.m. in the afternoon and you kind of feel toasty there, and you, but you still got some really, you know, more important things to do in the afternoon, both taking a walk, meditation, 20 minute or less nap, doing some type of physical exercise, that might give you a little bump, but I would just caution anyone against putting your most important priorities anywhere past 3 p.m.
Yeah. I learned that from you and that was really powerful. So I know the things that you do in your life, but can you say like a few of those things that you do to, you know, do away with those little tiny decisions and the distractions and the mise en place? I love
like yes,
the,
okay. You know,
just the, some of those things that are tangible. People are going to be able to take these things away, like even if they don't take the course. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. So here's one of the simplest things that anyone listening right now can do. If you want to set yourself up for success every single day, this takes probably less than 5 or 6 minutes. It'll actually bring you tons of joy and energy, and you'll walk away going like, oh my God, who am I? I'm actually the cleanest, neatest, most organized person in the world. I love myself. So this is this notion that's called mise en place. As a former bartender and someone who's spent a lot of time in the service industry, waiting tables and just being a server, one of the things that we do in restaurants when we're about to set up for the evening service is something called mise en place. So behind the bar, I would cut all of my lemons and limes. I would have my little orange peels. I would have all of my bottles of wine set up behind me. I would have napkins, nuts, everything that I need was set up in advance. Why? so that when I'm three or four people deep and I got everybody screaming at me, I have everything at my fingertips to do my job with excellence so that I know exactly where it is, that I'm not distracted. There's no decision fatigue because I've decided already and I can just go and perform at 120%. Mm-hmm. Here's how we take this into our daily lives. Whether it is the afternoon, like 5 or 6, I always do this probably before bed, like anywhere in the 8:30 to 9:30-ish range when I'm, you know, in the wind down mode. You go around your home and you do a little bit of cleanup and mise en place. Now you can do this in 2 minutes and you can get one impact. You can do it in 6 minutes and it'll change your life. So here's what mine looks like. I like taking a little bit longer. The kitchen, 100% spotless. There is no dishes in the sink. They're in the dishwasher. The coffee is set up for the next day. My mug is sitting there waiting for me as though I'm a princess. Living room. Pillows, like the remote control, everything is set up so that when I exit my bedroom and I come into the living room, I don't see clutter. All I see is that this magical human must have cleaned the apartment last night because it just looks dope. Then when I walk into the place where I do my own morning routine, which has to do with journaling and meditation, my journal is set up. There's a candle there, there's a pen, and there's everything that I need so that when I come into the day and I'm a little bleary-eyed, I am met with so much care from my past self to my present self, and there is nothing that I need to do but activate into my best possible day. This does not take long. Like I said, you can do the 2 minute version where it's like, okay, my computer is charged. Do you know what I mean? I know exactly what I have to do. If you're someone who's working out, your workout clothes are set. If you've got to get on whatever, some kind of train, plane, or automobile, your passport's out. Like there's so many micro ways to do this. Or if you take, again, just another 3 to 4 minutes, I actually timed this. Josh the other day, he was like, I can't empty the, I'm like, you want to know how long it takes to empty the dishwasher? I've timed it. It's 2.5 minutes. You can do it. I promise you.
Yes. And one big thing for me was doing my to-do list the night before.
That was
a really big thing for me. Because that actually took a lot. Yes. It took a lot of my tank to decide what I was going to do. And yes, talk about that. It's a big thing.
Yeah. So one of the other really great time genius strategies that we use that I would invite everyone to take on, you know, a lot of people wake up in the morning and they're just like, what do I do? Right. So what do? They go to the easiest thing. They open the phone, they'll look at their text, they'll look at the email, they'll look at their Slack, they'll look at their social channels, and they're playing defense. They're all reactive. They're looking at other people's ideas of what they should be doing with their time. You're getting emotionally triggered. You're starting to compare yourself. You're going down the sinkholes of like, I'm not good enough. And then, you know, 40 minutes goes by and you're like, what the hell's going on? I've lost half the morning. Here's another possibility that I invite you to do. The notion here is always plan tomorrow today. Around 2 or 3 p.m., while you still got enough cognitive fuel into the in the tank, take a little bit of a break. Step back. Assess. What did you get done today? And what is tomorrow looking like? Do you have appointments early in the morning? What's the most important thing? If you could only get one thing done tomorrow, what is the most important thing that you would love to tackle? Are there a couple little personal phone calls that you know you should make in the afternoon? Write all of that down. We don't even call it a to-do list in Time Genius. We call it making a success plan because that's really what it is. What is your success plan for the next day? Now, you don't want 17,000 things on there because that is overwhelming and you're setting yourself up to fail. Just between 1 and 5, just key things that, again, the number one is first, that if everything goes to hell in a handbasket or the shiitake hits the fan at 10 a.m., if you just got that one thing done at 9, you're going to be golden. So you make that list the night before while you still got enough cognitive fuel in the tank, because what happens for most people, 5, 5:30, 6 o'clock, 7, you're starving. The kids want dinner. You want dinner. You just want to go to bed. You're not going to do this. And if you don't do this at the right time the day before, again, you wake up in reactive mode and you feel like you're in Groundhog's Day in the worst possible way.
Yeah. I heard you say something on a podcast that at this rate, the average American will spend 44 years staring at screens.
That's right. That's what the research shows us. 44 years of our life staring at screens between phones, computers, laptops, tablets, you name it. Now, I don't know about you, Mallory, but I don't think the point of human life is to spend 44 years of it staring at a screen. I think we're all meant for more than that.
Yeah.
And if you start just doing some simple math, it makes sense. I mean, the average person these days is spending about 5 hours a day on a screen.
Which is and like, it's unbelievable. But it's the simple, it's the awareness. I love that everything is figure outable and time genius and even like some in B school and different things. It's always like, you've got to have this awareness. And we say so many things like, well, I don't have the time to do that. And like, laundry is taking over my life. Or like Josh said, this takes so long to unload the dishwasher. And you're like, actually, no, it takes 2.5 minutes. So something that was really powerful for me in time genius was, and this was a daunting one for me, was you were like, you've got to know where you're starting from. And you've got to know what are your time pockets? Where are you wasting your time? Where is your mind saying, like, I'm spending all my time forever doing this, but it's actually not. And so, like, you said, actually, track every single minute for 7 days or, like, 2 weeks, you like better. And when I tracked my actual days, it was the most eye-opening thing that I've probably ever learned in my entire life. Because I learned, like, oh, I actually do have a lot more time to spend with my kids. And I was feeling a lot of guilt about that. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm working all the time. And then I'm like not spending enough time with my kids. There were all kinds of pockets. There were all kinds of like 20 minutes here, 40 minutes here, 5 minutes here that I was like looking at my phone or like checking on something or just it was all there. I was just unaware. And that's really powerful. So can you talk a little bit about that? Because I think it's very powerful. And I know we don't have that much time left on this podcast, but I think this is someone that everyone could actually do like now.
Yeah. It's one of the, you know, a lot of people kind of resist this exercise. They're like, well, how the hell am I supposed to do that? I'm like, you don't need fancy software.
I totally did.
You just need like literally a scratch pad, like a notebook and a pen. Mm-hmm. And you can do it in 5 or 10 or 15 minute increments. And here's the trick. And it's very difficult because we know this from science. Anytime that we start to observe ourselves or track something we're doing, it's almost impossible to not want to make yourself look better on paper. You know what I mean?
Amen.
Like the fact that you're going to write it down, you're like, oh, it's just like if you're tracking food and you know, like for me, I've always had this certain affliction for like chips and salty things. Mm-hmm. But if I knew that I was working with a nutritionist who was going to support me in like feeding myself more healthy fuel, and I had to write down, oh, wow, she just polished through a whole thing of Skinny Pop. I probably wouldn't polish through a whole thing of Skinny Pop because I knew I was writing it down. So it's the same thing with our time. But I would urge and invite everyone to, first of all, have fun with this because it is an invitation of awareness. We're all creative scientists and we're learning how to use our most precious resource that we will ever have in our lives, our time, more effectively. So it's aligned with things that give us meaning. But write down what you do, 5, 10, 15 increments, and just notate it like a scientist would. Mm-hmm. Bring awareness to it. You'll see how often for all of us, we unconsciously pick up our phones. We unconsciously hit refresh on that email. We unconsciously do X, Y, or Z. Not realizing that 5 minutes here, 20 minutes there, 45 minutes there, when you add that up, it creates these huge deficit experiences like I don't have enough time when you actually do.
Yeah.
And so we all have 168 hours a week. And if you just roughly do the math around like 8 hours a day of sleep, and around 8 hours a day, roughly, and again, these are just gross estimates, but around 8 hours a day for work, that leaves you with another 8 hours a day to live an amazing life and create real progress in any particular direction, any goal that you have where you want to start chipping away at it. I promise you, you have all the time you need. And one of our mantras from Time Genius is this, and I would invite you to take this on. There's always time for what's most important.
Yeah.
There's always time. Always time for what's most. Yeah. And so what that does is it's embedded in that sentence is a presupposition that you've decided what's most important. And what's most important at this stage and season of your life is different than what was most important 5 years ago or 10 years ago, and perhaps even 5 months ago. And so one of, I think, the most important things for us to do as humans is continuously ask ourselves the question and be really clear about what's most important to us right now. What's the most important thing that we want to either achieve or heal or experience or a skill that we want to get better at or a project that we want to complete or a move that we want to make? What is that most important thing? And when you know that and you couple that with this idea that there's always time for what's most important, your entire paradigm shifts and you start to find pockets where you're moving towards that most important thing. And here's one of the other big lessons in life for all of us to just remember. Human beings find happiness in progress. Yes. When you are making progress towards anything that's meaningful to you, you will feel a surge of joy. You will feel energy. You will feel fulfillment. When we are not making progress, that's when things start to get dark and go mm-hmm. down into a spiral, when we feel lost,
yeah.
purposeless, meaningfulless, or like we're being pulled in a million directions and nothing really matters because mm-hmm. we haven't staked that claim for what matters most.
Yeah. It changed my beliefs also around a lot of things. It changed my belief that like, oh, I don't have time to do this thing. When I looked at the reality on paper and when I was time tracking, it lifted something off of these things that had felt so daunting or that yes. I felt like I was spending so much time doing. And it shifted my belief. It gave me the facts, and facts will do that. Facts yep. and science sometimes is like, oh, I was wrong. It just, it lifted something for me.
And well, you know what it probably lifted? The pressure. Because the pressure. I've done this to myself mm-hmm. of like, I don't have time for that. Oh, I wish I had time for that. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. I actually do have time for that. I don't really want that bad. Yeah. That's why I'm not mm-hmm. doing it. Mm-hmm. I don't want it. So I need to mm-hmm. drop that and drop the yeah. guilt and drop the expectation and drop beating myself up.
Yes. Okay, this is the last thing that I'll ask you, because this is something that's foundational for me. And you're talking about like, what are the things that are the most important to you? Something that's so important to you, and I admire it so much. And I feel like Time Genius, it brought me back to this. And it's this aspect of like living your life full of joy, working joyfully and living joyfully and like truly finding time for the things that are most important. And you know, it might sound like, well, yeah, well, of course I want joy, but you take the actions to create joy in your life and to put working joyfully and being in relationships joyfully first, and you find your way to joy. You like forge your way to that. And you've given us so many tools and courses and different things to be like, okay, do you want this? Like, here's how you do it. So can you just talk a little bit about that? How do you prioritize joy in your life? And how do you create a joyful workspace and a joyful home?
Yes.
For somebody that's listening to this, it's like, joy? Well, yeah, I ain't got time for joy. Like, I got yeah. all these kids and I got this job and I'm working on the stock exchange still.
Yes.
You know, like,
100%.
How do you do that?
Well, first of all, for me, it's always an inside out game. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I recognize how quickly, and this is just for me personally, that when I can get into a cycle of frustration or irritation, I'm like, oh, I am doing this. I am the cranky pants right now. Because for instance, if I'm folding laundry or I'm getting dinner ready or any of the myriad of things of dealing with the mail, you know, mm-hmm. the little stuff that all of us mm-hmm. do that kind of takes up the moments of our lives, that at least in my head I'd be like, God, why am I still doing this? Or why do I have to do this? And I was like, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. So it's like, record scratch moment. I can either do this begrudgingly, punish myself, endure this, or I can wisen up and wake up and enjoy it. I can bring the party from the inside out. One way, my complainy pants way, my frustrated way, that way, that's going to make me exhausted and tired, stressed, and destroy myself from the inside out. The other way, the enjoyment way, gives me energy. Every moment of my life, I often think about it like popcorn. You know, when you string popcorn around a Christmas tree? Mm-hmm. Every single little kernel of popcorn has to go through thread, and you thread it. And yep. then all of a sudden you have this big, long, beautiful piece of art. That's like every moment of our lives. Every moment is its own little kernel of popcorn. And I'm either going to poo-poo on that and complain mm-hmm. that I shouldn't have mm-hmm. to, or I'm going to make that popcorn so salty and buttery and delicious that it's the best friggin' thing ever. Mm-hmm. And so that's step number one, is recognizing that it's an inside out game. Everyone has experienced this. You've been in traffic. You can't stand being in traffic. You want to lean on your horn. You want to flip everyone the bird. You want to just like, you know, and just blow up everything, including yourself. And we've also had the experience where you're in your car and there's traffic and you're car dancing. Mm-hmm. You're singing at the top of your lungs. You're listening to a podcast. You're having a damn good time. Of course, you would rather not be in traffic, but you've absolutely surrendered to it. And you're like, ah, I'm here. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to enjoy it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to call my friend. I'm going to listen to this thing. I'm going to belt out Beyonce, whatever it is. That tells you all you need to know about how to start living a joyful life. And then here's another mantra, just an invitation. to consider. Only say yes to things that you are willing to do joyfully.
Oh.
Only say yes to that which you are willing to do joyfully. If an invitation comes in, I just dealt with this morning. There's a friend of mine. I have my same people-pleasing tendencies like most of us do. We want our friends to like us. We want people to like us. We want to please them. We want to connect. We want to do things with others. And a friend of mine asked me to do this particular thing where I would have to show up at a place and get it all together. And we're trying to, you know, get the schedules. And it wasn't a big deal kind of thing. It was just like, hey, this would be nice. And just this morning, as I was coming over to talk with you, I left them a voicemail and I said, you know what? I need to pull out of this. I can feel me being overextended. I love you to pieces. I hope this is okay, but it doesn't feel like this is an enormous deal in this particular project. So I'm going to step back and I would love to take you to dinner. We'll see you next time we're all in town, blah, blah, blah. I said, I hope you understand. Let me know.
Yeah.
And the text that came back was, I love you so much. It is so not a big deal. Everything's great.
Awesome.
And I realized, and so for all of us, it's like only say yes to the things you're willing to do joyfully. And I saw myself tiptoeing into something I was going to resent. That I was going to be angry at myself, that I was going to dread showing up for and go like, why the hell did I say yes to this?
Yeah.
So that's probably step number two. And I think step number three is really, it's make it a habit. Make a decision about how you want your life to be, because it's the mundane aspects of our life. How you empty that dishwasher, whether you're going to karate chop your pillows on your couch, how you're going to put your kid to bed, what you're going to do when you're cleaning the toilet, because we all have to from time to time. Mm-hmm. Are you going to do it begrudgingly? Or are you going to do it like it's a party? Because at the end of the day, all we have are these ordinary, everyday moments. And you can either endure them or enjoy them.
That is powerful. It's life-changing, I think, that mindset shift. And I encourage anybody that's listening to this podcast to write that down and stick it on your mirror, because if you can remember that every single day, you can endure it or enjoy it.
And look, you'll catch yourself enduring it. I catch myself.
I do.
I catch myself all the time.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, oh, wait a minute, record scratch. Boop. Let me like rewind. Let's go at it again. Who do I want to show up as now? Do I want to be Cranky Pants Marie? Or, you know, and if I can't, if I need to just have a minute, if I need to just sit or put my head down or feel like crap for a few minutes, that's okay. That's allowed. Yeah. But then I want to get back up and show up newly and go, okay, here we go. Let's give it another go. So this is not about perfection. This is about progress. This is about awareness. This is about strengthening that muscle.
Ugh, what a gift this podcast is going to be to anyone, anywhere in their life. You have truly been the most transformational person with the content that you have so graciously put out onto the internet in my life. And I know that this is an extension of that to my community. So thank you is not enough, Marie, for what you've given me and my community today, but thank you so much for coming on. Can you tell us like what you have coming up or out?
Yes.
That maybe, you know, if somebody has something that they want to do, maybe it's the Time Genius or B-School or whatever.
Yeah.
Just a little bit about that. And we'll link everything in the show notes too.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say like the good primer is everything is figureoutable. That is like a handbook to unlocking your creativity and becoming a powerful force in your own life. So that one, go grab it. Time Genius will be coming back up at some point. You can always go check at jointimegenius.com.
Okay.
We'll let you know the next time enrollment opens. We've got another round. I think it's Summer B School coming up. So if you're someone who wants to start or grow your business and do it in a way that's aligned with your heart, that's coming up. And then actually, Mallory, I can't wait to tell you about this. I'm going to keep you posted because it's not ready to be announced yet, but we're doing something big and new in June that I've been working on literally for years, specifically for creatives and entrepreneurs and ambitious humans who want to not only have the business and career they love, but a life they love. Exactly what you and I have been talking about. How do we keep creating forward together in a way where we are building towards our dream lives? And, you know, we don't dismiss disappointment and despair. That comes for us all. That is a part of the human experience. Mm-hmm. But how do we stay profoundly positive and stay in this place of being a deliberate creator, of putting our time, our energy, and our focus on what matters most? Our friendships, fun, adventure, joy, and bringing those projects to life that our soul and our hearts tell us that those are our gifts. That's what we have to offer.
Wow.
And so doing that together in a way that is super fun and that I've never seen before.
Well, I'm excited. I'm going to block off my whole month of June for whatever I'll keep this you posted. Is.
It's going to awesome. Be easy. It won't be filling up anyone's lives with more to-dos. It's actually about Amazing. Simplifying and continuing to create spaciousness, because I think that's what so many of us are craving these days.
Uh-huh. Yes, it is. And Simplify yeah. to Amplify was one of my favorite parts of Time
Simplify
Genius.
To Amplify, baby. That
yes,
is what we're
so
about.
So awesome. Marie Forleo, thank you so much. I appreciate this so much. I'll link everything in the show notes, and you can find Marie pretty much anywhere, but I'll link everything Marie Forleo. And thank you so much, Marie.
Thank you.
Hey, friend, if you're loving the show, I'd love to hear from you. Head to your podcast app, scroll down to where it says ratings and reviews, and share your thoughts well with a rating and review. Your words might be just what the next person needs to tune in and start living fully today.
American Giant makes great clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, and more right here in the U.S. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.